Hi, I'm Nikki from Teaching Autism, and welcome to the Autism and Special Education Community Podcast. Are you an autism or special education professional? Are you a teacher or therapist looking for support and new ideas? You may even be a parent, family member, or carer. This podcast is perfect to help you find out more information, support, and get some of your questions answered. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode on my Teaching Autism and Special Education Community Podcast. I just want to take this moment to thank you all for your continuous support and listening to my podcast. If you have a spare few moments, I would be so appreciative if you could leave us a review on iTunes so more people can find this podcast. Moving on, today I'm going to be talking about a bit of a controversial subject, and it's about the timeout corner. But this podcast episode is more about the timeout corner versus the cooling down corner or area. So let me just start by saying, whether you do or don't use timeout, it's totally okay to parent however you want to and set up your classroom management. Anything that works for your students in a positive and professional way is that's what we want. But today I'm sharing some information that I found out about the pros and cons of using either a timeout corner or the cool down corner after researching and talking to parents, carers, and education professionals. So first, I'm going to explain what I mean when I say a timeout corner or a cool down corner. Because again, this can be different for so many things to different people. So some people have the idea of sitting their child on the bottom step of the stairs. Others think it's for a child to be sat in the corner of the room. And it's different for so many people, and it's important to try and think of the best way to use it for both you, your child, your students in a positive and supportive way. So first, I don't and I have never called our area a timeout area. For me, the name just never really sat right with me. And when working with students who take things so literal, I didn't want them to think of the timeout corner as a negative experience. I didn't want it to only be available if they were displaying challenging behaviours. I wanted it to be a safe space that they could go to if they felt themselves getting overwhelmed. So for this reason, we have the calm down area. If you call yours a timeout corner and you really don't want to change it, that's okay. I just wanted to share the reasons for why mine is called a calm down corner or calm down area, and why I think it just feels a little bit more positive for my students to access. So first, I'm going to discuss some pros of having a calm down area in your classroom or at your home. So first, it gives your child an opportunity where they can calm themselves down without feeling overwhelmed, and it can provide them with a safe space. So a lot of our children crave a safe space, especially if they're in a large room or environment that's filled with students that can quickly become overwhelming. So if we start to notice triggers for behaviours, we can direct them to this cool down area and help them to start that cooling down process. If you're using planned ignoring, this area can work really well too. So some of our students may do a certain behaviour because they're craving attention, and they may not usually get a lot of attention, so they'll seek any type of attention, even negative, just because they're craving it and that's what they really want. Having this calm down corner gives them that space where they can go to and they can independently start to calm themselves down. It also gives them a disruption-free zone. So if your child or student gets easily distracted, especially when they're trying to calm down and something happens across the room or another student says something and they can get heated up really quickly again, then this area is perfect for helping with this. You'll be taking away distractions and disruptions that may affect their ability to calm down. And if your child responds well to visuals, you can have visuals in the cool down area to help them calm down, as well as providing sand timers or things to help them see how long they can have to sit there. And if you have children who respond well to a sensory approach, you can provide them with different seating options and relaxing areas and maybe some sensory massage options to really help themselves calm down. But like with anything in life, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. There can be a few cons to having one of these areas as well. So the first is, if you're only going to use this area once a child or student has started to display challenging behaviours, then you're not getting the full use out of it, because all you're teaching them is that this is a negative place to go to, and you don't want your calm down corner to be a negative place. Also, you need to factor in time. So how long are your children or students able to access this area for? Is it consistent? Is it rushed? Are they given too long so that it can become a place of escape rather than cool down? Also, it doesn't work. I hear this so many times from people who try something once with their students or their children, and they say, "Nope, we tried it once, it didn't work." But like with anything, you need to give your students a chance to explore the area and get used to it. When you first started learning to drive, did you pass your test on the first day? I highly doubt it. Did you struggle, you know, were you wondering about different things? Were you trying to work things out? You probably didn't come out that first lesson thinking you were the world's best driver. But the more you tried it, the more lessons and training you had, the more that you accessed it, the better you got with it. And off the back of this, life is not a one-size-fits-all. So the calm down corner may work really well for some of your students, but then others may not find it helpful. They may not like it, and that's okay. But you'll then need to decide how you're going to support your other students. And it can become an area for escape. So if you set up this area in a way that is so lovely and relaxing, your students may try and use it to get out of doing something else, like escaping work they're not enjoying. And finally, understanding. It's important that you help your students and children understand why they're using this area. It's for them to help themselves calm down and self-regulate. It's not a chance for them to run around and be over-energetic. As with everything, whenever I give you some cons, I always try and provide you with some ways to change those cons into pros as well. So first of all, it's just really important to be consistent with how you're going to use this area. And this is for everyone involved, whether it's all the adults in the house or all the members of staff in your team. Are you going to let the individuals independently access it when they're feeling anxious or their emotions are becoming overwhelming? How long are they going to be able to access it for? And what do they do when they're in this area? If you feel like this area is not working, try and look at things you can add to it or take away from it so that it does work for your students and children. Take opportunities to make this area a positive experience. Use the adults in your classroom or your home to show how we can use this. Talk about your emotions openly and why you need to go to the calm down corner. Many of our students are visual learners, and by seeing the calm down corner in action, it can help them understand how they should be using it and when they should access it too. One of the most common things I see when I go into classrooms or I help out some other teachers and members of staff are that they always tell their children they're happy every single day. But that's not life. I understand why. I understand it comes from a place of love and you want to show your students how happy you are every day and positive, but it's not life and it's not realistic. Nobody in life is happy every single hour of every single day. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with feeling sad or there's nothing wrong with feeling angry. Just talk about it. Use it as a point of discussion with your students. So when you're doing feelings, openly say, you know, Miss Davis is feeling a little bit sad today. My dog's not feeling very well and I'm sad that he's in pain. Little things like that. It could even be something like, I am so angry today. I made my dinner and then I dropped it on the floor into work and now I can't eat it. I'm so angry. That's okay too, because you're telling your students it's okay to experience these feelings and why you may be feeling like that. Then go into the calm down corner. Could be something simple as, Miss Jones is so angry because I've lost tomorrow's work. And then you can march over to the cool down corner and just say, I need 5 minutes to calm down. You're showing your students it's okay to feel angry, why you may feel angry, and now you're going to go to the cool down corner and you're going to calm yourself down. Openly show them how you're going to calm down. Use a massaging tool to massage your arm and your skin. Read a book. Do some breathing exercises. Our students are mostly visual learners and this will be really beneficial for them. And most importantly, ensure that you don't make the area overly exciting or rewarding. You want it to be calming and for your students to relax, but you don't want it to be so exciting and relaxing that your students want to use it continuously as an escape. Don't put their favourite toys here or any sort of reward. It's just for calming down. So you may be wondering, well, what should I have in a cool down corner? What makes a good cool down corner? It's going to be different for all of us with our students and children. Some of the best things that I have included over the years are different seating options, blankets, visuals, think of breathing exercises, flashcards, timers, massages for self-regulation, supportive social stories. And there are also lots of great ideas that you can find on Pinterest for what to put in your relaxing corner as well. And information so that you don't confuse a cool down corner with a sensory room. If you head on over to the show notes today, I've actually included a link there where you can download a free Calming Strategies Adapted book. And I include this in all of my cool down corners, and I know so many other people do as well. And this book is just a really great way to provide your students and children with some ideas and techniques they can use to help calm themselves down and self-regulate. So head on over to the show notes, download that, and put it into action. Tag me on social media and let me know what your cool down corner looks like, if you want any advice on it, how your students or your children are using the adapted book. I love to hear from you. I love seeing all the photos on social media. You can find me, Teaching Autism. So I hope you found this podcast episode helpful today and that I was able to help you think about the terminology of the timeout corner and maybe changing this to a cool down corner or calm down area. If you have an area that works really well for your students, be sure to head on over and leave a comment to share it with our listeners. And don't forget, head over to the show notes for some extra resources and links to find out more. Thank you for listening, and I'll speak to you again soon.